Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We're going back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. My name is John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat. And Chris.
What's up, man? You been to any more tournaments lately?
Oh, my goodness. You know, Chris, I don't think that was fair. I mean, you know, I don't even sound like that. I don't know what.
What are you talking about? That was you?
Yeah.
We didn't make that up.
I don't know. Sounds like interpretate to me, though.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're trying
know.
To interpretate that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe you were wrestling. You know, I go back and listen to these, these highlights. I see you guys are just joking on me the whole time. I noticed that, you know. I don't know about all
that. I don't know. I've been, thrown through the ringer a few times. About my hair products.
That's fun, though. That's good, though. Well, you know, we were talking in the first hour. My goodness, it just goes by so fast. But you're listening today and you're tuning in and you're catching us in the extra hour. We talked about the election just 4 days away. 4 days away, you want to vote, you want to get educated, you want to know what your values are if you haven't figured them out already, but you want to vote God's values. You don't want to vote a party or a person or a candidate or a platform, but you just want to vote. Listen, it's between you and Jesus, you know, you and God, and hopefully we'll get time in the extra hour to talk a little about this more, but this is the countdown, this is that, and pray for our nation. We want to go into this thing with humility. We don't want to go in, you know, rah-rah and our man and this. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We want to go into this election season on our knees. We want to be praying. We want to be crying out to God. And mm-hmm. remember that, too, that salvation is not in any political party or in any person. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. So no matter how this turns out, what we want to do is trust everything ultimately to God.
Right.
Because the Lord is the one who is in control, and God's kingdom will stand always.
That's right.
You also gave an update about Hurricane Sandy and shared some resources and shared some things that were available to those that were in the midst right now of this trial.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue to pray for them and what they're going through, because this is kind of a tragedy.
Yeah.
But you know what? Great good can come out of this.
That's
great
right.
good. You know, if we stay low.
That's
right. And keep God at the forefront. I mean, God spoke to Joanne in the middle of this storm and told her, listen, the flood of waters, I'm not even going to come
That's
your way.
That's it, man.
Think
what else do you need, man? You got God. What else do you need?
Listen, God is more than enough.
All the time.
And then just recently, we just finished talking about, in a kind of a rethinking church moment, about when we gathered in small men's groups together and
mm-hmm.
fellowship and sharing the word of God and what God was sharing during our abiding times and growing. And I really want to pick up where we left off there, because
mm-hmm.
really that's so needed in the body of Christ today, where we're, you know, walking together and discipling each other. And I'm glad that we're doing still doing that today.
Right.
But you know, it's what Jesus told us to do. I mean, it's not really hard. It ain't rocket science here, you know?
Right.
He said, go and make disciples. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And he didn't say, go make a convert. So go, you know, I guess I'm going to pray a prayer. He says, go and make disciples and grow them up in him. You know, teach them to hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. And I enjoyed that time that we had with each other, where we were holding each other, just like I said, accountable and mm-hmm. growing and speaking and praying for one each other's needs. But I wanted to share how oftentimes that in this process and in this journey of growing with God, you know, you're on a journey, that sometimes people are tempted to have this kind of a stop and go, you know, relationship, you know, mm. where things are going well, maybe I'm abiding, and then all of a sudden things are going too
right.
good.
Adversity.
Too good.
Mm-hmm.
and you start skipping, spending time with the Lord. You're not praying. You're not talking to him. It's like, wait a minute. What you don't want to have kind of a stop and go relationship. What is that? Even if that even exists,
right?
Like, kind of you try to come up with an analogy that maybe may help to frame what we're talking about. You know, Colossians 2:6 it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Think about that. He says, listen, just as you receive the Lord, just as you accept in him as your Lord, continue. Don't stop. You know, a relationship is something that needs to be fostered. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about the joke that I've often heard when the wife says, you know, tells the husband, I don't hear you say that you love me. Do you love me? He says, woman, I told you we got married that I loved you. If it changed, I'd let you know.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I don't think that really works.
That doesn't work too well.
Yeah, I don't think that works. You know, in order to have a relationship, you need to continue what you first started. You need to be engaged in it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about saying a prayer. Come on now. It's not just about getting a get out of hell free card, if you will. And I can't wait. Hopefully next week we'll get a chance to talk about the reality of heaven and hell and just, oh my goodness, just so much to share on VFN radio, the encouraging stuff. But it's not just, you know, we're not praying a prayer to check off a box and say, okay, got my Jesus now. No, it's a relationship that needs to be fostered. It needs to be continued. It needs to be engaged.
Right.
So he says, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue what? To live in him.
Right.
In Christ. In God. That means following his ways. You know, making his values your values. Mm-hmm. You're in him. You are abiding. You're remaining in the vine. You're connected with God. You're not living a life separate of God, but continue to live in him. Continue to live following the ways of God and putting him at the forefront of your life. Then he says to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be rooted. So many times the cares of life come in and you're like the storm is coming all over the place. There's wind and all kinds of things happening. And oftentimes you may see a believer that just kind of maybe falls on the side there. It's just, what happened? Mm-hmm. And we know about the parable about the good soil and right. how the seed was scattered on the different grounds. Mm-hmm. You don't want the cares of life to choke out what God's doing in your life. You don't want God to be at the forefront of your mind so all of a sudden he's all the way in the back of your mind. What, you know, you want to stay at a continual place where you're growing in God and meeting on a continual basis like that, fellowshipping with the church, being transparent, being real, carrying each other's burdens is a way that you can continue to be engaged in that relationship. Because you know that when you gather together again as the church, your brother and your sister, because they love you, are going to ask you,
right,
how are things going?
That's right.
How was your bonding time this week? How are things going at home? Mm-hmm. And it's that accountability and that transparency and that openness that reminds us to say, you know what, I'm not by myself. I can continue this walk. I'm encouraged walking this out with the Lord. And I need to have roots down deep. Mm-hmm. I need to go down deep with God.
Right.
You know, and that's what Chris is talking about. You know, I started out and, you know, my goodness, Chris is not even none of us are who we used to be. We're not what we need to be.
Right.
God's still working on all of us.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, you got to get roots down deep.
That's right.
You got to get roots down deep.
You got to build a firm foundation.
Without a firm foundation, we talked about this yesterday, how to prepare for the storm. You know, the winds, the rain will come. But if your foundation is not on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, what is your foundation on?
That's right.
Let me tell you something. You're building something. You're building something. The question is, what are you building and what is the foundation of what you're building?
That's right. Is it going to stand?
Is it going to stand? Mm-hmm. You know what? And you can't judge the quality of what's being built when there is no storm. You know, I used to love when we used to see those commercials say, you need to get these hurricane shutters, and you need to get this hurricane duty, you know, force winds that'll hold it up. Well, that sounds really good, but the only way we really know if that's hurricane proof, you know what I'm saying, is when you actually have a hurricane.
That's right.
And it's still standing.
That's right.
You know, it's the trial that reveals what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have roots down deep on this side of the trial, because if you don't, you're going to be carried away with it. So he says, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving, you're going to have a heart of gratitude. There's so many things to be grateful for. Really, how can we stay in a place of being just downcast and saying, you know, oh, the continual state of woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Life is good. You know, you look around. Five fingers on each hand, five toes on each feet. You know, right. Food to eat. Living in America, blessed Constitution, you know what I'm saying? We can serve God freely,
mm-hmm.
and not being persecuted yet, praise God. You know what I mean?
That's right. Think about it.
There are some things to be very thankful and grateful for. In fact, we're coming upon, you know, a wonderful time of the year, Thanksgiving, and I love that holiday. I really do, because it really gives us a time to reflect and being grateful for what we do have,
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, being dissatisfied and discontent with what we don't have. And one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. It's kind of a, you know, word that most people don't use today or are familiar with, but mm-hmm. it's like we talked about this before, where it's not about desiring what someone else has for your benefit, you know?
Right.
Some of the young people say don't sweat that stuff. Don't be sweating somebody's things, you know?
Right.
That's for the younger generation you're listening to today, you know, but
we don't sweat that stuff.
Yeah, you know, so don't peek over your neighbor's fence and be drooling over what they have, you know, with this deep envy that you don't have it.
Right.
You know, that we should be content, because godliness with contentment is great gain. Learn to be satisfied with what you have and what God has allowed you to have. You're blessed. But if you spend all your time, you know, thinking that you don't have anything, that's not a good place to be.
Mm-mm.
Because the little the great that you do have, you know what I'm saying, is going to be taken away from you.
That's right. You may not have it very long.
Yeah. And we learned that during hurricanes ourselves. Remember that?
Like, that's right.
I think you learned.
In the summertime.
I think you learned to never say never, right?
Absolutely. I sure do. I ate all those words, and I'm just so thankful.
He'll never say that again. Ever. I will never.
That's right. Absolutely right.
God has a way to make you eat them words, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Don't ever say that. Trust me.
Exactly. Say, you know what? Thank you for my daily bread. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Thank you for my daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 says, see to it. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Listen, mm-hmm. when you're gathering together as a church, one of the benefits is when someone comes in with these hollow and crazy and deceptive, I mean, really, in that group where we're seeking God, abiding mm-hmm. every day, mm-hmm. prayerful, nobody was going to come in there with no crazy dissent. We're like, listen, we read the Bible here, man.
Yeah.
You know? Don't you come here with that stuff.
Exactly.
You show me in the Bible where that is.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have an abiding relationship with God, you're not abiding with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, sharing God's word, praying for each other, being transparent,
mm-hmm.
being the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, how can we focus on going? All we can do is simply be. We got to be the church.
That's right.
This is the safeguard. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at the amount of people that are so concerned about being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are a lot of times same folks that don't even read the word. I'm like,
Right.
I think a safeguard for not being deceived is to spend time in the truth.
Yeah.
If you spend time in the truth
mm-hmm.
and with the truth,
right,
then you're gonna see it a mile away.
That's right. We'll see it coming.
So we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today that, you know, in this Rethinking Church moment, let's focus on being the church. Let's focus on carrying each other's burdens and developing authentic relationships that are going to help us walk this relationship out with God. It's not just like a pep me up or a cheer me up, but you know what? God's called us to do something in this life. You know, we have responsibilities as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, mm-hmm. as ministers, which are servants of the gospel, right? Servants of God.
Mm-hmm.
God expects fruit from us.
That's right.
So how do we implement what God, right? Because we're not going to be hearers, but that's God's right. called us to be doers.
Right.
And that's the thing today. I mean, a lot of the church right now, they're just hearers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, God's going to hold us accountable for every message, every revelation. Mm-hmm. To much is given, much is required.
That's right.
And so we're not reading the word or gathering just to get more information, but we're gathering so that we can have revelation,
mm-hmm.
so that we can begin to start walking this thing out in our life, walking this relationship out so that we can have fruit for them.
That's right.
But no man's an island. No woman's alone. We need our brothers. We need our sisters. And we're better together. We mm-hmm. can walk this out together mm-hmm. and be what God's called us to be.
That's right.
The family of God.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the data radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, mm-hmm. and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a mm-hmm. podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning, to encourage you, that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions in it. You already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, mm-hmm. which also original intent and
right.
Wisdom moments and
prophetic words
mm-hmm. and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that think about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetize. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's V Victor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app. And it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king, as his kingdom and the safety of his people.
You know, John, I remember specifically my parents bringing up when they were kids, they used to listen to and watch the I Love Lucy marathon.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't really get to catch more than probably about 5 minutes of an episode. And there was also like the, you know, the Gilligan's Island marathon. And as a kid, I used to watch the Cartoon Network, and I always used to watch my, the Ninja Turtles. There was the marathon weekend or the marathon constantly, the consistent program back to back. But I know that when you're listening to the VFN radio program, you're like, I want more. Is there more God? Yes. There's the marathon weekend where you can listen to back-to-back-to-back programs of the VFN radio program. 9 a.m. Central Saturday to 9 a.m. Central Monday. Check it out. Every weekend, all God. The marathon weekend.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself, and so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits on our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Willie Gammon only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to BFN Radio. Joining with me, this is John Ramos. Joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Well, my goodness, we're coming to the end of the extra hour, and we do want to share this word with you. You know, we spoke about, because God's been telling us about things that are occurring. And listen, if you've been listening to BFN Radio, we have been sharing it consistently.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do a search. If you're new to BFN Radio, let me tell you, everything is cool. God has been speaking, and thank God for his voice. But you can research, and you can go to the Torch, VFN Torch, by going to VFNTV.com and typing the word prophecy. And God's been speaking and telling us about many things that are to come. But, you know, we shared not too long on VFN Radio a segment and a highlight called In the Day of This Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. This was a previous broadcast, October the 2nd, which is before the storm, and it's just a word that God gave me, because just knowing of what was coming.
That's right.
And again, it's called In the Day of Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. And we want to play this, and we want to come back and talk about this a little bit more, and we can get some encouragement, perspective on what's happening. Listen up.
It reminds me how important everyone is in the kingdom of God. You think about it, you know. Every joint supplies. There's no little I's or little me's or little everyone's important. You know, Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
it's
right.
Like, man, there's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy, because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all are not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the five finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing. And that's what the church is. It's a family. It's we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes, no little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so important, because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and it'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. Now, oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, one of the greatest things you could ever do, is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She had just battled drugs and stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just to see it in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free. And I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And it's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation. Because the enemy will try to take you out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and you weren't giving God lip service, don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God, man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about in the day of disaster,
mm-hmm.
we need encouragement. And I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times, the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith, encourage, and add faith to you today because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, it's, you know, when you get these type of reports, and you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I always say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight.
Right.
You know, but this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad. He said, "Listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live."
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know,
wow.
take that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, "I don't get it. I just don't get it." He says, "I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right?
How could I be sick?" And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay?
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4.
Huh.
He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
So he goes into this pain, and the doctor says, "Listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our mm-hmm. concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond."
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor looked at him and says, "Do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate?" And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live,
right.
If he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he would have locked into that, he would have said, "You're right. You're right, Doc. You're right. Mm-hmm. Let me just hobble along and, you know, not go through this." He says, "No, I want to go through the surgery." So I remember driving him down to Chan's down in Gainesville, and he's having a surgery done down there. Actually, he got some special testing or something down there. Mm-hmm. Comes back, gets a report, and prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 11, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. Went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best. It's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. He's had some challenges throughout his life. And going through that trial, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship. Mm-hmm. It was just restoration everywhere. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, if you've been diagnosed, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through a divorce sometimes it's like going through a death. Because they're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand that, it's again calamity, or you're going, you have love going through financial ruin, and that's a tough thing, or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about. Right. But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you, because you may be going through something today, and I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, he's not left you. He's not left you. And often, people say, where's God? Mm-hmm. He's right here. He's right there in your life. And he's so close, you can reach out to him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Everyone wants a testimony, Pat, but nobody wants to go through the test. Nope. You got to go through the test. I always say, if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies. You gotta have a testimony. You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, God's got my attention. And I often say, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for his hand, mm-mm, right? I'm talking about reaching out for his face, mm-hmm, to seek God. Let me tell you something, we're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. And God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know him, and you can get to know him. You can get to know him. I often think about, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
That's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making him the your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John. I need to know. I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something. When you're going through something, that's not enough. Mm-mm. It's not enough to know of him or about him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to him. I said, God, I need to know. And I one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God because he might just do it. Mm-hmm. And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion. And I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of him and about him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much, and I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. I said, God, I need to know you. And man, he made himself so real to me. Mm. He made himself so real to me. Uh-huh. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time, you know, I was crying out to God and I received prayer. I actually came to God and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand, you know, doing the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time, you know. So I go to shake the guy's hand and just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man, you know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something, you know. I didn't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I go to shake his hand and all he says is, more Lord. That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground. And oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling. This is like in front of just, you know, a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20 something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, it's like way too cool. I just could not control it. Mm. And what I felt was the most amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God, because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and he had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a way. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this, and he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. Let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself, out of his mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know, right? Out of his mind. And Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, no, you go back, basically, and go tell him.
Right.
Go tell them that Jesus lives. Go tell them that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's the one that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you. Unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. Mm. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself. And you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Get yourself a journal and start reading God's word and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life, because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you, because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches, like, you know, 19% of the church is actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time. And to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. You know, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going. Your head's spinning, and it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You need God's grace because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, where it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, an impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you, and I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. That's me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you?
A couple times.
Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out, and they have along the hallway there seems to be like not an escalator but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through, and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else,
mm-hmm.
or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30-40 feet.
Right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it. And when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down. And that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load. Mm-hmm. Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags. And like, I can't drive. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. Let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there.
That's so true. You know, here we are facing a calamity, even in the midst of a storm. Mm-hmm. You look at the storms of life. You look at the storm, natural storms.
Right.
This is it. This is the day of disaster, the day of calamity. You can trust God. I know it looks upside down right now. I know that things don't seem right. I know that maybe you don't have power and you're just huddling next to a phone. But whether you're going through a natural storm or a storm in your life, let me tell you something. The only one that can pull you through. Men have philosophies. They have ideas. They try to stick out their chest and pep themselves up and try to psych themselves to overcome challenges. Let me tell you something. The way you overcome is by first giving your life to God and keeping your head low, being totally humble, dependent upon God, and staying in his word. If you abide with God, if you rest with him, he will pull you all the way through.
That's right.
You know, Pat, we're getting close to the end of the extra hour, and I want to make sure that we cover our wisdom moment. You know, we want to get the wisdom moment in because we talk about every day the wisdom of God. And it's just, you know, God's application of it's, you know, wisdom's proper application of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day we correspond the proverb of the day with the actual day of the month. So today's the second day of November, believe it or not. And we want to go ahead and share the wisdom from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now the word says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God."
Mm.
You know, sometimes you can blaze through some scriptures and you can read the scriptures rapidly. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Pat, there's no extra credit for how fast and how quick you read. You know, there's no extra credit given out, no extra points.
Right.
It's not the quantity, but it's what God is saying in what you're actually reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we have to pause. And the first verse of Proverbs 2 says, "My son, if." That word "if" is a big word. It means conditional.
Mm-hmm.
If it could happen, assuming.
That's right.
You know, based upon, as long as, if you do what? You accept my words. So many times people want the blessings of God, but they don't want to receive what God's word actually says. Well, yeah, just give me this. Well, God says, wait a minute, there are some prerequisites for some of this stuff here.
Right.
You know, like, you know, are you mine? Do you belong to me? Are we in covenant? Do we have a relationship? You know, not all promises are for all people because, you know, God wants to bless his people, those that have made him Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you."
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about reading God's word, but it's about treasuring God's word. It's about hiding God's word in your heart. It's about meditating on what the word of the Lord is, so that out of a deep reservoir, out of a deep revelation, out of a sense of that abiding, resting, weighty word in your spirit, it can come forth and bring revelation, and it can manifest in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a quick read through. It says, "My son, if it's conditional, you accept my words, believe them to be true, and hold on to them."
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, store, gather, make room for my word in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't squeeze me in the morning as a drive-by devotional on your way to work.
Right.
But if you store up my commands, if you store up my teachings within you,
mm-hmm.
then, right? Turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding, and if you call, look, these are verbs, okay? Turning, applying, calling, you know, it involves action, it involves responsibility on our part to do our part. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, engage God, spend time with him, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Listen, the Bible said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to draw that out. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Word of God. Let wisdom wash over you and fall deep inside you so that you will have a reservoir of God's truth no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what you're going through. God's word remains. God's word is true. God's word is the foundation. It's the only way to make it.
That's right.
That's our wisdom moment of the moment. God bless you. We've been looking forward to this conversation. Don't forget to catch us on the weekend of the VFN Marathon weekend. It's a 24-hour loop the entire weekend. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.